from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, we understand it. It's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire to get you started. And, of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire, as we always say, really good for the soul. It is good for the soul, and we like to give you a little soul food, especially you're getting ready for a long weekend. Hopefully all of you have Labor Day off. Of course, I will be here doing the morning show, and Joe will be here doing this show on Labor Day.
And I will be here with Joe.
Okay. So won't be quite as long of a weekend, although I do appreciate the fact that the boss is allowing me to do the morning show so I can be done by 10 and still have some of Labor Day to, go hit the golf ball or do whatever, right?
Cook out.
Yes, whatever. There's that, of course, as we know, when we start with Earth, Wind, and Fire, it means that I'm solo today. And Joe is, you're going to be shocked by this, but golfing somewhere.
You know, Paul, I'm stunned.
It never, ever is a bad day when you're out on the golf course, right? Joe and I yesterday, thank you to Lanny Fratteri and Ryan Recker. They beat us.
Did they?
They beat us in the match. They beat us. They smoked us on the front. We beat them on the back. They beat us overall. So they beat Lanny and Ryan beat us. We played really well the last five holes, though, to come from behind and at least win the back nine. Right?
Well, at least there's something. Is Lanny that good of a golfer?
Yeah, you know what? I'd say what I like about Lanny. His game is very controlled. As you might imagine. Everything you know about him, right?
Everything that you know about him, he is in control.
He's very, very controlled. You know, he doesn't, I mean, obviously he's older now. He doesn't hit it that far. But I tell you, I mean, I think there's four par threes, so there's 14 fairways to hit. I bet you he hit 13 of them. I can only think of one of his tee shots that didn't hit the fairway. Like, he hits it right in the middle of every single time. Just a nice, easy, controlled swing, you know? And then, Ryan Recker's a really good golfer. So we had our work cut out for him, but we did not perform above the line. I actually started off really well, and then there was a long stretch of holes, like six or seven holes in the middle of the round where it was terrible. Joe wasn't very good until the last four holes.
I'm sure he was taking that very well.
Yeah, he didn't take it very well. But the last four holes, he figured some things out, and then it was tied. The back nine was tied going into the 18th hole. And I actually birdied it to win the back. So that was good, right?
Lanny called me when I was just about home and said, Austin, why aren't you here doing the play-by-play? I thought you were supposed to be here.
Yes.
I had a volleyball game. I got a text of probably about this time yesterday. Can you work the game tonight at 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7:15, whatever? All right. And that's why I was not there. I wanted to go, and then I also forgot until this morning, or yesterday morning, that it was going on.
He was basically saying that you could have rode around and given us the play-by-play.
Next time you golf with him, I'm sure this will not be the last time.
Yeah. It really is. It's going to be. We have to have a rematch now because we lost. So we're gonna find another track to go play against them on, and we'll have a good time. Nevertheless, we've got a big show. By the way, Everybody Loves Raymond has been bumped up to 10:35.
Good to know.
I mean, because we have Mike Casazza from, he covers the Mountaineers. Who would have thought the biggest game of the week would involve the Mountaineers? And I'm not just talking about locally. I'm talking about, could you make a case that this is the biggest game of the weekend?
I think you can.
I mean, is Georgia playing Clemson?
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the slate.
I think Georgia.
Very early. To use a Paul pause here, but you know what, Paul? I think we're going to drop one.
I'm just saying when you pull it up, well, Texas, Michigan.
Yeah, Georgia, Clemson's the biggest one.
And Texas, Michigan is pretty big, too.
Oh, it's huge.
Wait, that's next weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see that this week.
That's next week.
Texas is playing Colorado State.
Yeah, Clemson, Georgia's big. But
what's the best primetime game? Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
How about the battle for Ohio? Ohio State, Akron.
That'll be a competitive one.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I see that now.
I've gone to an Akron, Ohio State game before.
Really?
It was like 73-10, something like that. Only time I've ever been to Ohio State.
The battle for Ohio. I love my favorite stat from the Ohio State people is Ohio State is, I think they've never lost a game to another team from Ohio. And I'm like,
that would make sense.
I'm like, okay, let's really rewind this a little bit. Sounds like an incredible thing.
But what about like 1912?
Bowling Green, Toledo,
Akron,
Kent,
Cincinnati.
Akron. And Cincinnati, who they apparently will not play. They played them twice.
University of Ohio.
Ohio U.
Or Ohio U, yeah.
Ohio U. So my point is, you should beat all those teams every time. Although Pitt doesn't beat all those teams every time.
No, remember when they lost to Youngstown State?
But if you're Ohio State, and Youngstown State too. If you're Ohio State though, you should win all those games. So anyway, where we're going to start? Oh, I'm sorry.
So we got Ray at 10:30.
I'm sorry. Here we go. They're 48-0-1. Versus teams from Ohio at home.
Oh, at home.
Yes. Their record overall is really all not all that impressive. They're 194-50-1 against 28 Ohio teams they've played in football. But they have won 45 in a row, which means they lost some games, you know, way back in the day.
Yeah. On the road.
You know, whenever they played, yes, exactly. But the big news yesterday, I don't know when did it break, maybe last night, last evening, when Brandon Ayuk, when it was finally announced that he was actually staying in San Francisco and would not be obviously coming to the Pirates. I'm sorry, the Steelers. I was just looking at a picture of O'Neal Cruz. The Steelers. And I think when you boil this down, there's no other way to say, well, first of all, you have to say to yourself, do we believe all of the reporting that the Steelers were on some level involved in trying to get Brandon Ayuk? Do you believe that on some level they were trying to get Brandon Ayuk?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt. They put their eggs all into the Ayuk basket, and they completely failed. The Easter Bunny gave them coal like it was Christmas morning.
Right. So if you subscribed to the theory that they were trying to get Brandon Ayuk, which I know that Jerry Dulac and a couple of the people,
yeah, Jerry Dulac said they were never they knew they were not going to get Brandon Ayuk.
Exactly.
I don't believe that for
a second.
Do you, Paul?
That's like, just nonsensical spin. That's nonsensical spin, and, it is what it is. I get it, and, I've been that reporter that was, you know, that would every so often, you know, put something out there that the team wanted that I knew was just complete nonsense because, you know, they were trying to spin something one way or the other. But here's my point. I don't believe for one second that they were not involved at any level. And I don't believe for one second that they thought or didn't think that it's just one of those things that it's going to have to be a situation where we, you know, you have to turn off your brain if you think that they weren't involved. Period. And since they were involved, I have to go with your theory at City Limits. I have to go with your theory. And that is, it's going to be one of those things where I feel like the Steelers did a terrible job here. They did a terrible job here. And, you know, at the end of the day, they did a terrible job from the standpoint of if you look at what their receiver position is, it's not ready. It's not ready for prime time. And so from the time they traded Deontay Johnson till now, what was the plan? What was the plan? You can't tell me that Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin and all these other people, you can't tell me that that's, you know, that's not the plan. Or that that's what they really had planned on doing. So they did a really bad job here.
Their plan, at least to me, was get Deontay Johnson out of the building and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of saw that they were impatient with Deontay Johnson. We all agree, Paul, that getting Deontay Johnson off the Steelers, away from George Pickens, is the best thing to do, was the best thing to do for the team. Now, the timing of it, especially because they knew they were going to get a big name, they were going to try to get a big name wide receiver, is what I think partially screwed this thing up. Because if Brandon Ayuk was holding out the way that he was the whole entire year like this, whatever, if the situation played out the same way, but the Steelers had Deontay Johnson, this deal is done. And I'm not trying to excuse it and make it 2020 vision now, but the Steelers were so impatient to get rid of Deontay Johnson and then so patient to wait on Brandon Ayuk when he could have been the signature piece in that deal. Did the Steelers know that at the time? I don't know. I'd like to think maybe there was a little bit of an inkling, but they traded Deontay Johnson for a corner who was going to get cut. Maybe he's good with the Steelers. We'll see. I just feel like, you know, Omar Khan has handled so many things very well. This is, I think, one of the, not big gaffes, but it's a gasp so far that he's had. Maybe the first or second one that he's had, but the most glaring one as Steelers GM.
I would agree with that. I just feel like this is probably, in many ways, this was probably the first time that I think there's legitimate criticism about something that, you know, Omar Khan and company did. And that's not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be overly critical here because he's done a lot of good things. But I got to be honest with you. You can't tell me that your plan legitimately was we're going to go into the season and we're going to basically do it in a way where we have Van Jefferson and Kez Watkins, who I think got cut.
He's gone.
Right? Scotty Miller, Calvin Austin. You can't tell me that that was the plan when they traded Deontay Johnson.
And Calvin Austin, the camp darling of the last 2 years, has done nothing in camp this year. Nothing in the preseason game, and now he's going to be your punt returner too?
I just don't get it, man. I don't.
I mean, the only logical explanation is that they thought so confidently that Brandon Ayuk was going to be a Steeler. That they did not. They thought, well, this is eventually just going to play itself out. We'll be fine. The deal will get done. He does not want to return, and San Francisco doesn't want to pay him. And I think that's what the Steelers banked on. They were that confident that this thing was going to get done and this thing was going to happen that they did not. They felt like they didn't need to pivot. They didn't need to move on to a Jahad Dodson. They didn't need to sign even a Tim Patrick to the practice squad.
Right.
Or, I mean, the report that came out last night that San Francisco would have dealt Ayuk if they could have got Cortland Sutton back for a third-round pick from Denver.
Something like that.
And when Cortland Sutton restructured his contract in Denver a couple months ago, wasn't that the writing on the wall that that type of trade was not going to be made? That deal was restructured to shuffle some money around and kind of answer the questions
I just don't get it, man. There was a lot of different things they could have done during training camp to get a receiver in here.
Their focus was just so linear. It was tunnel vision on Ayuk. And everything that went on in the peripheral,
right?
They just completely blocked it out. And now they're trapped. And they're trapped in a situation where you have one quality wide receiver who has proven it in the NFL. Well, George Pickens, has he even proven it in the NFL yet through two seasons? This is mainly the prove it year three for him. Van Jefferson, who's just a four. Roman Wilson, who's been hurt and has never played a snap. Calvin Austin, who's your gadget guy, jet sweep, hasn't been able to see him do anything across the middle of the field. And then Scotty Miller, congrats. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Anyone else want to line up and come to the table? The table is very bare. The cupboard is empty. It's a bottom five wide receiver room in all of football, and it's cemented by Ayuk.
I just don't know what to do now. I just don't know what they do now. I mean, it feels like all of the opportunities they had, to make their team better, to make their receiver room better. I got to be honest with you, man. It feels to me like they basically they just fumbled here. They fumbled.
A caller just asked, do you think that Ayuk and his agent used the Steelers for leverage in this situation? I'm sure partly that's probably
somewhat, but I think part of it was but how much leverage did they get because they ended up signing the deal that was on the table 12 weeks ago?
That's crazy. Was it 12 weeks ago or was it August 12th?
Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
My point is
the fact that he signed the same deal
right.
that was on the table 3 weeks ago and nothing changed in this period
right.
is just
how much leverage,
time off our lives we can't get back.
How much leverage did he actually get? It's all, and here's, I'll tell you the other thing. The other thing I'll tell you is that the fact that there were other teams that were involved and he turned down opportunities to be traded there, at some point, it went from him having him having a lot of the leverage to him having none. I mean, it's pretty clear that the 49ers said, here's the deal, take it or leave it. And so his leverage was, okay, well, I'm going to skip training camp. It's really what it comes down to. A lot of guys do that. They don't want to go to training camp. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to go to training camp. So, okay, this is my way to get out of it. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to do it, is it?
Seemed to have worked.
I mean, he got out of training camp, but at what cost now? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, at what cost? But I mean, I don't necessarily think that he was able to use the Steelers I don't know that he was able to use the Steelers all that much because, again, they said to him, here's the offer. And I was just looking at Adam Schefter. Here's your offer. It's the same offer that we've had on the table for at least 3 weeks. So what changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. The biggest thing that changed is that it's game week coming up. and he was getting ready to forfeit a game check. That's the thing. Now the next thing I got to do is they got to work now on Trent Williams. And I'm sure they're going to play the same game with him. The thing is, they've started fining him every day now. Brandon Ayuk is now 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth, sixth highest paid receiver. That's probably about right, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I'm just saying he's sixth highest. So all right, let's go to a phone. Go to a phone real quick.
Let's go to Brian in Brooklyn.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Paul. I'm glad that it's over, but I got to ask you an honest question. Why didn't we try to go after T. Higgins? I know we're not going to get Jamar Chase, but Cincinnati has two receivers that they got to get rid of or sign them, and they can't afford to sign them. What was your theory? Why didn't nobody say nothing about T. Higgins? Zero.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And maybe Cincinnati, maybe they sent some overtures and Cincinnati said it's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
The same way with DK Metcalf. They shot that down immediately early on.
It yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, it could have been a situation where they looked into a couple of these guys and were basically told it's not going to happen.
I just want to know what your thoughts
is
on that, Paul, with T. Higgins.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it'd be a great addition, but I mean, it takes two to tango. All right, who we got next?
We got Danny in the car.
Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love the show.
Thank you. What's going on today?
Listen, am I hearing you guys right? Do you think if we would have had Deontay Johnson, that we would have got Ayuk? Is that what you guys are saying?
What?
If we would have still had Deontay Johnson, that we could have used him in a trade to get Brandon Ayuk? Is that what City Limits said?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Well, maybe, okay, but the other part of it is... What's that?
Let me ask you something. Do you really think San Francisco, who was in the Super Bowl last year, and I think was the better team, they would actually want Deontay Johnson, somebody who, at best, catches 50% of the balls he's thrown, runs the wrong way when he catches it, takes himself out of first down yardage, 2 years ago had no touchdowns the entire year, has five in the last 2 years, and watches a fumble, looks at it, turns around, walks away, and goes to the bench. Do you really think Kyle Shanahan would want that on his team? There's no way they would have took Deontay Johnson.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. They wanted a receiver back.
He's not a receiver. He's a joke. Where would you think because, you know, he's in San Francisco's system, he's going to what? Get great hands? Start running the right way instead of doing the Jim Marshall every time he catches the ball? When it fumbles, he's going to throw his nose in there and go after a fumble? Quit causing fights in the locker room? No. He's Deontay Johnson. No one wants that, Klon.
Okay.
That's why he's where he's at.
Thank you for the call.
I think they would have taken him, yeah.
I do think they would have taken him.
I think they would have taken him.
I think if they'd have had him and they wanted a receiver back, and some of the names I heard that they were, you know, interested in trying to get back in a trade, I think if the Steelers paired Deontay Johnson with a second-round pick, they probably would have been able to get him.
And you're paying Deontay Johnson $18 million. That's $12 million less than Brandon Ayuk is getting this year. He's still a good route runner. A lot of why Deontay Johnson didn't catch any touchdowns, one, was because of him, obviously, yeah. But the quarterback play was also so poor. And the running backwards thing, 100% agree. The fumbling thing, 100% agree. I'm sure San Francisco, though, and Kyle Shanahan would think in their offense with the way that he runs routes because he is a good football player. He is a good route runner. Yard after the catch when he's not moving backwards, he's a pretty good football player. And I think San Francisco would try to just get the best out of him and think that they could. I think they'd believe it. At least I think Kyle Shanahan would.
I think that's the whole point about it. I mean, people don't realize that the Deontay Johnson is not a great player, but he's better than the guys they have right now. He's better than the guys they have. besides Pickens. Secondly, I think he would have been enough of a return that we would have done that. You know what I mean? That might have worked for him. All right, we got one more.
We got Adrian.
Adrian, how are we doing, Adrian?
Hey, good morning, Zeiss. You're the only one with any sense on this whole show, on this whole station, by the way.
Well, thank you.
The rest of the five guys know absolutely nothing. Let's go back to the beginning. Please give me the time to explain this. The Steelers did nothing wrong in this process of getting Ayuk. Why has somebody always got to be to blame? Why can't we all just think positively? Okay, Deontay Johnson had to go. That he did all those stupid things that last caller said, but he's wrong about San Francisco would have absolutely taken him in a trade. But we got Jackson from Carolina. He's a baller. Okay, that trade was a great trade because Jackson's going to do very well as the number two corner here in Pittsburgh. That defense is nice now with him and Patrick Queen solidifying the defense. I think the whole defense, I think they're going to be very hard to score on this year defensively. Now, offensively, okay, they signed Van Jefferson, who was better than what anybody on this station thinks. That was their insurance policy. Van Jefferson is a good ball player. He gets open deep. He can play. He was a very good piece to the puzzle to the Rams Super Bowl, okay? George Pickens is way better than what anybody on this station thinks. That dude is a top five talent in the NFL and in my opinion, top eight wide receiver in this league. So now you sign Jefferson to make sure you have a veteran guy next to him, okay? They had a deal in place during the draft for Ayuk. Their only mistake was they didn't want to give up Freiermuth. I would have gave up Freiermuth in a heartbeat because he's done absolutely nothing since he's been here since his rookie year. Okay? So now the only thing – Steelers did everything they could to get him. San Francisco retracted it. They wanted to keep him. The Steelers had a deal done. So stop blaming Omar Khan because the deal was done. San Francisco did what they could to keep the guy. It just happened. That's how it happened.
All right, I appreciate the call, but that's not true. There was never a deal involving Freiermuth. They were never going to deal one of their players. They made that clear from the start. They were going to give up draft picks. They wanted Freiermuth. They wanted Alex Highsmith. There was like three or four guys they were interested in trying to get, and the Steelers said no. And you're missing the point completely. Van Jefferson is not. he's a 6-year veteran. Basically been a journeyman. Nobody on this station, I don't know anybody on this station that doesn't think George Pickens is really good. He's obviously really good. Omar Khan dropped the ball from the standpoint of there needed to be a plan. When you trade away your second best receiver, you need to have a plan to replace him, and they didn't do it. Period. Didn't do it. So, you know, that's the fact. That's where I draw the line.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, now you hear that music, you know what that means. It's Ray Fittipaldo. Our Steelers reaction brought to you by Bet365. Ray, it finally happens. First of all, good morning. Hopefully everything is well. And it finally happened. The Brandon Ayuk story came to an end. And it came to an end without him being on the Steelers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, I mean, the Steelers just have been in wait-and-see mode pretty much for a month now. They had their offer on the table to Ayuk and his agent. They had their offer on the table to the 49ers. There was, you know, communication between all of the parties really for the last month or so. And when it came down to it, Brandon Ayuk apparently wanted to go back to the 49ers. So when you look at the deal, Paul, looks like $30 million a year, $76 million guaranteed. You know, that's probably more than he would have had guaranteed with the Steelers. You know, the Steelers really only guarantee that much money to T.J. Watt. So in the end, apparently the 49ers put more money up front, and that's what it looks like got the deal across.
Well, and I think the big thing is, Ray, it's one of those deals where, you know, it kind of feels like the Steelers, when they traded Deontay Johnson, I don't know what their plan was, and I certainly can't believe that it was Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, and, you know, Scotty Miller being the guys to compliment George Pickens. So where do they go from there? I mean, I guess they're kind of stuck now.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, they got a couple positions like that. They're kind of in the same situation at slot corner. But, yeah, I mean, first to adjust receiver, you know, it's going to be a combination of Pat Freiermuth and Van Jefferson, Paul. I think we all know George Pickens is going to lead this team in targets, in receptions, in yards. And then the number two is up for grabs. You know, it could be Pat Freiermuth getting, you know, number two receiver type targets and catches. And then Van Jefferson, I think, you know, could be a quality number three target. And after that, you know, you piece it together from there between Calvin Austin and Scotty Miller. And, of course, Roman Wilson when he gets back. So, you know, they're going into a season, I would say, you know, barring a move, and what move could they make now? But I think they're going into the season with a below average receiver unit. And I think they're pinning their hopes that Pat Freiermuth will have a breakout year, and we'll see if he can make it happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, now they're going to have to figure out sort of how to make it work. And the problem is, you know, the real games start now. And so, you know, they've got a week basically to figure it out. I'm just going to be really curious to see how it works out. And maybe, you know, hey, one of our last caller basically said, all of us are sleeping on Van Jefferson. He's a lot better player than we all think he is. So, you know, there's that. All I know is I watched, you know, what little we got to see of him in the preseason. And I saw kind of an average receiver that isn't really going to get himself open very often.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think at this stage of his career, coming off two down seasons, and, you know, let's be realistic about this. Van Jefferson could have a really good year this year. He was injured last year, you know, when Arthur Smith and the Falcons got him. Smith talked about that a couple of weeks ago, how he's kind of banged up last year. And they feel like, you know, maybe he can get back to where he was a couple of years ago. So, you know, probably not a number two type of receiver, but I like I said, I think it could be a quality number three target if that's the way it turns out to be. But, Paul, you know what the answer is, and I think people just don't realize it. Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. And I'm not talking about receptions. I'm talking about running the ball, controlling the game, you know, winning time of possession, putting Russell Wilson in second and third and manageable, and, you know, winning close, low-scoring games. You know, that's the way they wanted to approach the season all along. They knew they had a good defense. And, you know, I think if they, you know, follow that approach, they don't necessarily need a prolific number two receiver. So I know it's a big topic right now, and, you know, as it should be. You know, they lost out on, you know, a big target of their offseason, but all along Arthur Smith was confident that he can make it work, and now the pressure's on.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's going to be now the pressure is on him to actually be able to get it done and get it done in a way that, you know, they distribute the ball. Could Najee Harris out of the backfield be a part of the equation?
Yeah, well, Jaylen Warren is healthy. I think when Jaylen Warren is healthy, he's your best receiver out of the backfield. So, yeah, between the two of those guys, I could see Jaylen Warren having 30 to 35 catches this year and Najee Harris having, 25 or 30 catches. So both those guys are proven players as receivers. I would think, Paul, with Jaylen Warren's history and being the primary third down back, that he would get a lot of those targets. So, when you think about it, Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens, Van Jefferson, if those guys are your top five targets, and then you use Calvin Austin and Scotty Miller as gadget players, then maybe you can piece it together and have the type of offense that you want to have. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but that's where they are right now, and they got to make it work.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is you got to make it work. Are there any other areas that you still have a little concern for?
Well, slot corner. They're going into the season with an undrafted free agent rookie as their first guy on the depth chart there. And listen, I understand they have some safeties and maybe some outside corners who can get them out of a game if Beanie Bishop gets injured. But what are you going to do after that? If Beanie Bishop gets injured, I suppose they can call up Thomas Graham from the practice squad. But to me, that just seems like it's another really thin position where it feels like a move is coming. So, we're still, 9 days away from the Falcons game?
Yeah.
Maybe they can add a veteran here in the next couple of days to maybe shore that up. But they don't usually go into seasons with undrafted rookies starting. So it's going to be, very interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, I think that's going to be the interesting thing, is that he's your nickel. What are your thoughts on Dante Jackson?
I like Dante Jackson. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a good player. One of the main focuses of this offseason for the Steelers was getting faster on defense. They kind of felt like with the injuries late last season, the teams can kind of take advantage of them on the second and third levels. And you look at what they did: Dante Jackson for one on the outside, Patrick Queen in the middle. He can run. Peyton Wilson can run. And then you add a strong safety in Deshaun Elliott, who's faster than Keanu Neal was. So they feel like they fixed that aspect of their defense. We'll see how all these pieces fit together. That's kind of, one thing that hasn't come up here is, you got a lot of new pieces on defense, and we have to see how these guys come together as a unit. But I think on paper, this defense is really strong again. I think it hinges on Patrick Queen stepping in and, playing well from the beginning. But I think if he does that, this defense is going to be really, really good once again.
Are the Steelers likely to, or do you think they're likely to, deal with Cam Hayward and Pat Freiermuth in the next 9 days?
Yeah, I always thought all along that Freiermuth was probably more likely to happen. And listen, they can get Cam done as well. I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. But, Freiermuth is younger. It's interesting, Paul. They both have injury histories. Cam's more recent. Pat's kind of had some issues going back to college. So that all plays into the negotiations, how much you want to guarantee in these contracts, how high you want to go in salary. But, yeah, I would think there's a pretty decent chance that Freiermuth would get done here. And then, listen, if Cam Hayward wants to take somewhat of a team-friendly deal, I think he could be back as well. But I've said all along, Paul, that they could also deal with Cam after the season. He's been here since 2011. There's that good relationship there. So, that 6-8 weeks between the end of the season and free agency in March, that's plenty of time to get something done if he does play well this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if either of these deals get done. And if they don't, what does that say?
Well, I mean, it says with Najee Harris too, right? Not picking up the option. Maybe they want to see how Pat, you know, fits within this offense. You know, the Cam Hayward situation is different. He's 35 years old, going to be 36 next year. You know, anything you do with him, Paul, I think it's probably just another year or two extension. I know there's a few pass rushers out there who, you know, play deep into their careers, you know, Julius Peppers, guys like that. But, I mean, Cam's become more of an interior player, more of a three technique, five technique, not an edge guy. So expecting guys like that to hold up when they're 36, 37, that's a roll of the dice. Cam keeps himself in great shape, but, you know, injuries inevitably happen as you age. So he's been an Iron Man for most of his career, just the really 2 years with injuries, right? 2016, he had the pec, and last year he had the core muscle injury. Other than that, he's always been available, and that's been one of the best things about having him on this football team.
What do you expect from Russell Wilson this year? What do you think is realistic? You know, maybe not just necessarily in terms of numbers specifically, but what do you expect from him? Do you expect to get a reasonably good version of him, or, you know, is he cooked, as some people think? What he did 2 years ago in Denver, or, you know, closer to what he did last year?
Yeah, I don't think he's done, Paul. I mean, his arm is still there. Any fans who went to Latrobe this year saw could still throw the deep ball. So what I expect out of him is a good TD to interception ratio. I expect him to take care of the football. I expect a lot of play action passing from Arthur Smith. Put Russell Wilson in situations where he succeeds. You know, I don't think either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields at this stage of their careers are going to be guys who thrive when it's, you know, second and long or third and long. I think we saw that in the preseason. You know, those are not favorable situations to be in. You know, guys like Ben Roethlisberger can bail you out of those situations, but there's only a few of those guys, in the league from year to year. And the Steelers are lucky to have Ben for two decades, but they don't have that type of a guy now. So, manage the game. I'm not going to say sit here, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be a game manager, but just take care of the football, lean on the defense, lean on the running game, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that Russell Wilson, I think, gives them a little bit more ability to, have some explosive plays. And I think he throws the ball down the field better than the guys, maybe except for Mason Rudolph last year, pretty much better than the other guys they had last year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mason came on. That's why he did so well. Hit George Pickens with some big plays to help them win those three games to get into the playoffs. Really lacking that with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett for much of last season. So, yeah, you know, Russell can still push the ball down the field. We'll see how this calf injury, Paul, is. You know, he's a guy who at this stage he's not, you know, going to be a great runner, but he's still pretty mobile. So does the calf injury limit him in that respect? You know, can they still roll him out? Can he still escape the pocket and get 2 yards on third and one? You know, those are things we're going to have to see here early in the season. And then, you know, the other aspect of that is how does Justin Fields factor into some of those situations, short yardage, goal to go situations? You know, is Justin Fields going to be a part of that, or are they going to trust Russell Wilson in all phases of the offense?
Yeah. I mean, it should be very, very – Ray, I can't wait until this thing gets kicked off and we get a chance to sort of see what it all looks like when it comes together.
Yeah, three of the first four on the road, Paul. September is a big month for this football team. They get off to a good start. I think they'll be in good shape. If not, could be a long season.
Yeah, it could be a really long season. That's for sure. Last one I have for you, Ray. You look at their schedule, and this is what's a little bit unnerving in some ways. And it's front-loaded with a lot of bad teams or quote unquote winnable games. But, and that's when you have to make, you know, make your progress, because the back end of your schedule, there's not going to be a lot of easy games. But the question is, if you're trying to reshuffle and rebuild your offensive line on the fly with a bunch of young guys, and you still don't even really have it settled yet, and now you got to fill in your guard spot with a rookie for at least the foreseeable future, isn't that one of those things where it could cost you a game or two early, and probably not the time you want to be losing a game like that?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this the other day, Paul. It's time for the young guys on the offensive line to step up. They've spent precious draft resources and money in free agency on these guys, and these guys have to step up. Maybe it's sooner than expected. But there's a lot of pedigree there, Paul. Zach Frazier is a second-round pick. When Troy Fautanu comes back, and that might be this week or next week, he's a first-round pick. Broderick Jones, first-round pick. So, you know, sometimes you have to throw guys into the fire, and it's baptism by fire. I think that's what we're going to see with these guys. Or could they, listen, they could be pleasantly surprised. The young guys go out there and ball out, or, maybe more likely it's going to take some time to come together. There's going to be some growing pains. But the one thing I do like about this unit is the talent. We all know that's there. You know, they just have to get their feet wet, and they'll be learning on the job. So that's going to be interesting.
Yep. I mean, it is. I just think that it's going to be a work in progress, and that's the offensive line is far too important component to not have some sort of continuity and ability to be successful. I guess it can work, but we have to see it, you know. And it sure feels like Dan Moore is going to be a starter to start the season.
Yeah, it does, especially with Fautanu's injury. You know, he would have to practice on Monday, and he would have to show them early in the week that he could go. And even then, Paul, that's a tough situation to put a rookie in after being out for 3 weeks. So, hey, listen, it's not going to change. They're banged up right now. They've been fortunate with injuries in the past to the O-line, but this is why they built up the depth there. You know, they got guys to step in, and now they got to step up when the team needs them.
Thank you, Ray, and enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too, Paul. See you.
All right. Everybody loves Raymond. That's Ray Fittipaldo, the Post-Gazette.
That's awesome.
Coming up, we've got Mike Casazza, the breakdown in West Virginia. Mountaineers.
How about we got a West Virginia, Penn State, kind of a power hour coming up with Mike and then Joe Schmelzer
of
Nittany Sports Now at 12:30.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.